Episode 90.
Late Night Internet Marketing.
This week on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast, I am so excited to be what I think is the first podcaster to announce the release of Pat Flynn's new book, Will It Fly? Now, we don't just talk about Pat Flynn's new book. We actually have Pat Flynn. And he doesn't just push the book. He extracts useful tips that you can use right now today in your business to get yourself to the next level. All this and more on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
The Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
You've been working for somebody else, but you want a business to run yourself. You want to know how to start. Where to begin? Can you get out your comfort zone, my friend? Yes, you can do it right when it's late at night. At the end of the day, your dreams burning inside. So keep it up and you will find that you're building your business one night at a time.
And now, broadcasting late at night from a little studio in the big state of Texas, your host, Mark Mason.
Hey. So you guys know that Pat Flynn and I have been friends for a long time. We were both in internet business mastery together back around, I guess, 2008, something like that. Back when Pat had just lost his job as an architect and he was struggling to figure out what to do, he was asking questions like, what's an ebook and how do I sell it and how do I automate the download, stuff like that. Maybe you're familiar with these questions. Maybe you're asking the very same questions. I'm telling you what, Pat Flynn is a special, amazing prince of a man. I love this guy, okay? Even if he wasn't doing what he's doing in the niche that I'm doing it in, Pat Flynn and I would be friends. He's a great guy. He's very special. He gets along great with people. He's the kind of personality that's perfect for what he's doing. But at the end of the day, he's just Pat Flynn. I mean, he's a guy. He was an architect. He made it happen. So if you're sitting there thinking, I can't be like Pat Flynn. Pat Flynn is special. He is very special, but you're special too. There's nothing that says that you can't do something that's as great as what Pat has done. It may not be exactly the same as Pat. You're not going to have the same ideas Pat has, but there are lots of stories like Pat out there. So listen to what Pat has to say and think about how it might apply to your situation. Now, in this interview, what we talk about is Pat's new book, Will It Fly? You can go over to willitflybook.com and sign up to be notified when it's released. Now, I can tell you, Pat's a no-spam kind of guy. So if you sign up on that mailing list, you're going to hear about that book. And what you're going to find in that book is product validation strategies and information. You'll hear in the interview, Pat and I have a friend who spent $300,000 on an internet business that didn't really work out. He decided to kill it. I've also talked about the very famous yoga mat story from Internet Business Mastery. For those of you that have been with me for a long time, you know about that story. The question is, if you've got an idea in your head and you're just not sure whether or not it's going to work out, or you've already got a business, but you're trying to take it to the next level, you've got ideas, but you're not sure whether or not your customers are going to accept them. Will they be profitable? Is it what people want? How do you validate those ideas and reduce the risk of failure? See, everybody makes mistakes. We all have to make adjustments. What you want to do is take that risk of failure and get it as small as possible before you take off and try something. That's what this book is all about. And it sounds absolutely fantastic. Now, full disclosure, I haven't read the book because it's not out yet. I've asked Pat for a draft copy so I can be one of the first people to give him feedback on Amazon reviews, and I'll encourage you to do the same. If you'd like a copy, leave me a comment in the show notes, latenightinternetmarketing.com/090. Let me know what you do with the book. Why do you think a book about how to validate product strategies and how to figure out whether or not the thing you want to do is actually going to work, why would that add value to your life? What appeals to you about that? After you listen to the interview, give me some feedback in the show notes. I'll pick one or two people and I'll send you a book on the day it releases, the Will It Fly book from Pat Flynn. Okay, so with that as an introduction, here's my interview with my good friend, Pat Flynn.
Hey, Pat, it is really great to have you back on the show again. This is maybe your third time, I think, or at least.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm so excited. And, you know, I have a lot of stuff going on. I have this book coming out. But I have to tell you, this is the first interview I'm doing where I'm announcing the name of this book and talking about it. And you were the first interview on the SPA podcast back in July of 2010. So I have to thank you, because since then I've done, I don't know, 600 episodes of different podcasts. And I just, man, we've come a long way together, both you and I.
Yeah, man, it is. It has been quite a journey. You know, of course, I knew about the book because you and I talk, you know, offline and in the Green Room Mastermind and so forth. And so when I heard about what the book was about, it was apparent to me that my audience would be interested in getting some of the knowledge extracted out of that book before it goes live. And so I want to talk about the book. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So the book, why don't you give us the kind of the 30-second elevator pitch? And everybody, I want you to listen to this, because when you're working on a project like that, you need to be able to tell people. When people say, what are you working on? You need to be able to tell them. So Pat, tell me about the book. What are you working on?
So, you know, there's a lot of books out there on how to get ideas for your business, right? There's a ton of those out there. There's also a lot of books on how to build out your idea. But there's nothing in between that tells you, well, how do you know if this idea that you have is actually one that's going to work? And so what it comes down to really is it's a validation book, but it's done in two ways. One, it validates that idea to that market that you're getting into, for one, which is obviously very important. And there's some information about that out there. Tim Ferriss talked a little bit about it in his book For Our Work Week, in a chapter called Testing the Muse. And that was like everyone's first taste of, oh my gosh, you can actually test an idea before you can put it out there and actually spend time and money on it. You can test it first. But he didn't really dive into it as deep as everybody wanted to. So it dives deep into that. But there's also the second part of validation, which is, well, how do you know if that idea and that business, that even if it were to become successful, is that going to match your goals? Is it going to align with your journey and who you are and what you want to become and what you want life to be like? And that's a part of validation that I feel is more important, because I know a lot of successful entrepreneurs who aren't happy, who aren't successful fathers when they want to be, who aren't successful husbands or wives when they want to be. And so I wanted to catch people early in their business journey to help them discover, well, is this idea good for the market, but is this idea also good for you?
Okay, so this hits home with me. You and I both have heard, years ago we heard our friend Jeremy tell the story about the guy with the yoga mats who came to market with the $100 yoga mats that nobody wanted to buy and ended up with a warehouse full of yoga mats. But we also know a big entrepreneur who spent $300,000 on a big website that didn't work out for him, and he ended up just shutting the whole thing down. So this market validation piece sounds really important, but you're also talking about a second piece. Can you talk about the lifestyle design piece a little more? So why is that important?
Well, it's important because, like I said, I know a lot of people who have gone down the route of building a successful business, but they've done it because they were chasing the money or because there was just a hot market that they wanted to get into. And then they realized, well, this isn't what they really wanted to do. And they end up shutting it down or selling it off and trying something else because it just doesn't align with what their goals are. And there's a lot of what I like to call thought experiments or tests that people go through. This is actually the first chapter. And I learned this from going through Internet Business Mastery, that, you know, the mindset and the reason why you do something is going to be really important to the success of that business, but also the success of you and who you are, right? And so there's a lot of, like, for instance, one of the first tests is called the airport test. And this is a thought experiment where, Mark, if you and I imagine this happening 5 years down the road, we just happen to run into each other after not speaking for a while, although I don't know why we wouldn't ever continue speaking to each other.
That's not going
to
happen, but I'm with you. Yeah.
But again, thought experiment, where we meet at the airport 5 years from now, and I see you, and I'm like, Mark, dude, how have you been? Like, dude, how's life? And you answer, life is awesome. And then I go, well, why? And then you have to come up with reasons why you would actually say that. And there's, you can divide kind of your life into four different segments there. Well, how is it financially for you? How is it personal for you? And then two other topics that you get to choose. And so you get to kind of develop this plan in a way that's not just, oh, what are your goals? But it's actually putting you in the context of something where if somebody were to ask you, well, tell me why it's so awesome, you would actually come up with something. And then from that point, you discover, well, is this idea that you have something that supports that? Or would it actually not fit into that equation? So again, there's a lot of things like that. There's also other things. For example, there's this test I like to call the Oprah test. So let's say, for example, for whatever reason, Oprah found out about your business idea and she decided that she was going to feature you on her show. It's going to be one of her favorite things. You know, those things go massively crazy and you become famous overnight, essentially, if you are featured in that way. Well, it's going to happen to you, Mark. Well, how would you actually feel internally if that were to happen? Would you be nervous? Probably. But is that something you would actually want? Would you want to be at the forefront, the face of that business where if people recognize you on the street, they would know that you were connected to it? Is that something you'd be comfortable with? And for a lot of people, the answer is no. So if the answer is no, then you wouldn't really build a business where you are the face of that business, right? You would just be in an uncomfortable situation and setting yourself up for failure down the road. So it's catching people early with things like this that are really important before we even discover kind of how this business idea might fit in that market.
Okay, so now it's obvious to me that if it happens that someone in my audience is still sitting there getting ready to try and start something, this is directly applicable. We're going to talk about in a minute. I'm going to steal some tips out of the book, but I'm still trying to make sure I get my arms around exactly who this applies to. What about the guy who's already got the business that maybe he doesn't quite want, or he's already got something that he's already tried and maybe it's just not panning out? How does this book help that person?
Yeah, well, it just shows you, kind of brings you back to the basics. You always hear this in sports, for example. You know, if somebody's struggling with their shot, right, you'll go back to the fundamentals. And this is a book that's going to help you walk through those fundamentals. And, you know, I really wanted to provide a lot of value in this book, obviously, but also give a lot of exercises that people can use. I mean, there's a lot of great books out there that talk a lot of that share a lot of these great stories and case studies and research and stuff. And it tells you to do something, but then they don't get into the how. Right. And this book is a lot of how to. So the first part is this is what I like to call the mission design. It's kind of themed around, you know, the airplane or flight. You know, that's why it's called Will It Fly? I kind of start talking about a story of the first time, actually, when Keone turned three, the first thing I did was try to teach him how to fold a paper airplane. And, you know, I folded one myself and he was just all amazed. And then he got a piece of paper and tried to fold his own, but he just rushed into it. He didn't even follow my instructions. And of course, the thing didn't even look like a plane and he threw it, didn't go anywhere. And he was like, I hate paper airplanes. Right. And that's how a lot of people approach their business. We see somebody else do something cool and we build something, we try to make it like it and it doesn't work out right away. And we just give up. But this is a book that'll allow you to, you know, pick up that paper, fold it in a way. I'm essentially helping people engineer their wings, I guess you could say, before you launch. And that's what this book is about. And there's a lot of things that people, even if they have a business and they're struggling, can go back to the fundamentals. And there's also exercises to get deeper into who your audience is. So you can probably find a pain point that you weren't actually covering yet that is something you should be covering. So there's a lot of things like that people can use in the book, no matter what stage you're at.
So this is not just a getting started book. It's a moving forward book, no matter where you are.
Right. And Will It Fly, this business idea you have, it doesn't necessarily have to be a business idea from scratch. It could be, is the next product that you're going to create one that's going to fly? Is the next course that you're going to create or coaching session you're going to do, is that going to fly? So it is for everybody.
Why write this book, Pat? I mean, you know, one of the things I think that most people that know, you don't, it's not enough for you just to do something that will be financially successful. You always have these reasons for doing things. And this book is, you know, it's a little different than anything we've seen out there. I mean, you said it yourself, some books touch on this, but this is going to be really unique. And why do it? What's motivating Pat Flynn in this case?
Well, there's a number of different reasons. One, I personally, you know, going back to my mission design, I really wanted to write a book and I wanted it to be fantastic. And I've been working on this book for a year now and it's gone through a lot of different iterations and it's just really crazy how it all kind of come together and shape together almost last minute in terms of a lot of the most important elements of it. But, you know, another main reason was I've just, you know, a lot of my audience are beginners or people who have just started out. I did a survey mid-year asking people where they were at, what stage they were at, and things like that. And I discovered that about 75 to 80% of my audience is either has gotten started but isn't cracking over $500 a month yet, or hasn't started at all. Actually, a third of my audience hasn't even started yet. And there's a lot of information on the blog to help people start, but the blog is an overwhelming thing. And, you know, even with a getting started page, which is help people out, pointing people to where they need to go to get started, it's still an overwhelming thing. And there's something about a book when you pick it up, whether it's on a Kindle or the physical copy of it, it's like that's the world you're in at that moment in time. And if I can help people through those parts of life that they're in now to help them figure it out to get to those next steps, it's going to make a big difference. Plus, I just kept getting questions about, well, how do I, like, what one of the survey questions I asked was, what's something you're struggling with the most? And when you segment out the people who have just gotten started or who haven't started a business yet, one of the number one answers was, I don't want to waste time. I don't want to build something that might not work out. And I completely understand that. But the other thing is, you know, a lot of people will build stuff and it won't work out, but you have to understand that's part of the process. But I want to be there to catch people beforehand, so it's less likely that somebody will fail. Now, I will say up front that there is no way to 100% validate that something you're going to work on is 100% going to work, because there's a lot that goes into it, right? Not just the idea, but the execution of it. But if it's a bad idea, then it doesn't matter how good you execute, it's not going to work out.
Yeah, there's ways to ferret out the stuff that is just very unlikely to work, right? So it's all about improving the odds of success. And I, you know, to your second point, if you are successful, being happy with that success, right? I mean, that's, in some ways, that's maybe even can be more important than the success itself, I think.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, this isn't just a how is your business going to work out kind of book. It's a how is this business that you have going to fit into the lifestyle that you want. And, you know, I've been very fortunate to be where I want to be with life, you know, being able to stay home with my kids. There's certain reasons why I haven't done certain businesses. And I'll be very open with you, Mark. One of the things that I know is out there that I could do that would be very easy for me to do if I chose to do it would be to build a, this is like if I had no family, if I had just all the time in the world and resources, I would build my own podcasting hosting company, because I think there's a big need for something like that out there, something with better stats and all those kinds of things. And I know I could do it, and it would do really well, and I could probably create it and within a few years get it to several tens of thousands of users and sell it off for, you know, millions and billions of dollars or whatever. Not billions, well, maybe. But you know, the thing is, that's not in alignment with my goals and where I want to be. I at this moment in time, my number one priority beyond, you know, serving my audience is serving my family and being there with them, not just physically, but mentally too. And if I were to do something like that, it would take me away from that, which is really not what I want to do right now.
Okay. So I see a big problem here, and I hate to call you out on this, but the problem is I've got all these people on the other end of this phone call that are hearing about this great book, but they can't get it yet. And so what they need from you right now, what's a great takeaway from the book? What's one of the insights that you think is highest leverage, most valuable, really proud of? What's something they can take away right now today that they can chew on until the book comes out?
Sure. Well, this is what I like to call a customer plan. You know, we always hear about your customer avatar, right? That's an incredibly overused term, I think. But it's important to know who your audience is and who you're speaking to. And I go through a lot of exercises in the book, and I'll share what those tactics are right now to discover what I like to call not your customer avatar, but the customer plan. Because the avatar, I feel, is kind of just, it's a made-up thing, right? And yes, it is a representative of who your target audience is. But if you want to understand how your audience feels, it's important to know exactly who they are and find real people. Not, you know, I've never been a big fan of find out who your avatar is, because I want to find out, well, who are these actual people and understand their stories and what their problems are and the language that they use and all that stuff. So it's just more than just a kind of just a general image of who my target audience is. I'm going out there and going to places where they're at. And so this customer plan stands for PLAN, which is problems, language, anecdotes, and needs. When you go through this process, you come out with action items. And that's why I love this customer plan. It helps you create a plan on what you can do to serve your audience. So the customer plan involves these four letters, P, which is discovering the problem. And there's a lot of ways to do this, but the number one way to do this is essentially just to truly have conversations with your audience. This is why I feel going to conferences is one of the most important things in my particular field, because I can go to where my audience is and actually have coffee with them and talk to them and ask questions and dig deep. And it's really important to do that. Now, if you can't do that in person all the time, you can still do it on Skype. And I think that's one of the things that a lot of people who have businesses all have to do. And it's a scary thing. And when I first started out, it was something that I was deathly afraid of, actually having conversations. But if you truly want to serve your audience, you have to do that, to discover what their pains and problems are. And you're going to find a number of different pains and problems. And so you write all those things down, and you know, there's some worksheets and exercises you could print out in the book to help you organize all this stuff, which is cool. But you find out what those pains and problems are. And then the second thing, L, is you discover what language they use. Because if you can't show that you understand what they're talking about, even though you might know what they're talking about or going through, if you can't show them in their own language that they know, that you know what they're going through, it's not going to work. There's a quote by Jay Abraham, and that is, if you can define the problem better than your target customer, they will automatically assume you have the solution. So that means discovering what that language is. So you got to keep a spreadsheet of all these different terms, not just keywords, but ways they describe what they're going through, or special language that this particular niche you're targeting actually has, so that you can show that you know what you're talking about. And there's a lot of great things you can do. One of my favorite things to do is go into forums. I think forums are a completely underutilized thing that exists out there for all of us, because there's a lot of interesting things you can do with forums. And here's a specific tactic, I guess you can call. If you want to find out what people don't like about something in a particular niche, you go to a forum. So look up all the forums. You can go to Google and type in forum colon and then your niche. For example, forum colon fly fishing. You get a list. Google will give you a list of all the forums. Well, you find one of those forums, and here's what you do. In Google, again, you type in a search term, space, S-I-T-E colon, and then that domain name of that forum. And that keyword that you put in there in the beginning, Google is going to search through that entire forum for those words. That's what the site colon and that URL is for, because it says, hey, Google, look through this site and find these keywords. So if you want to find something people hate, you can put in language like, I hate site colon and then the forum. And you're going to get every single post in that forum where people say, I hate. And you can get a list of all the things that people hate. And I need, or I want, or please help with. I mean, there's a whole list of keywords you can include to really get into how your audience is speaking about that thing. And the A part is anecdotes. So you can use, in a similar fashion, using that same tactic. I call it the Google Sniper search function. I don't know if that's the actual term, but that's what I call it. Because you're kind of just like kind of sniping out all these conversations and right, picking them out. And you can define stories, which are really important, because everybody loves stories. But if you really want to know how your audience feels about things and what they're going through, and remember that, you need to find real life stories, and forums, again, are another great place you can go to find stories of people, because that people share about whatever it is that they're going through. So you could type in great story, or awesome story, or I love that story, because those are responses to people telling stories. And if you find those responses, you're going to find these amazing, open, transparent stories that your audience is going through. And you'll be able to better understand them. And plus, when you hear somebody tell a story, you can't help but put yourself in that situation. And that's exactly what you need to do to best serve your audience. You can't help but remember who that person is and what they go through. And that's why I love this customer plan thing as opposed to the avatar, because you get to really remember and feel real people in your audience going through these struggles or what they're talking about. And the last thing is the need, and figuring out, okay, well, here are the problems. Here's the language that they use. Here's some stories of people going through that issue. Well, what it is that they need? And your need is essentially kind of the hypothesis that you have. What is that solution to that pain that you could create? And then from there, you go into the next section, which is, okay, here's this hypothesis of a solution. how can you test that? How can you validate that? So there's a lot of different ways. Actually, my favorite part of the book is part four, which is called the flight simulator, which is where you put this idea, this hypothesis of an idea you have for a solution, and you put it to the test, and you actually go out there and actually see if people will either buy it or take action with it. You get it in front of a group of people, and you say, hey, are any of you interested in this? Okay, well, okay, pull you aside. Let's talk. Would this be a solution that you'd be interested in? If so, don't just say, but do. And that's the most important part of validation in general, is that because people will say that they want to buy something, but you never know for sure until they actually do some sort of action, whether that's buy something or exchange an email address for something, or, you know, there's different ways to validate, and there are different levels of confidence with those different ways. The number one way to figure out if it's going to work is to get people to pay for it beforehand. So pre-sell or get people to, you know, pay before you actually end up creating that product. Man, sorry, I get super excited talking about this because it's obviously been on the top of my mind lately, but there's so many cool things you could do. And one of the big things I wanted to do with this book was just give people a ton of different ways that they can actually do these things for free too. And that's the one thing I hate about a lot of other books out there, is they're like, okay, well, here's what you do, but then you got to get all these tools. And I'm like, oh, I don't want my audience to have to spend money first to figure out if our idea is going to work. So that's a lot of what's going into this book.
Well, let's do a dog food check. You know, speaking of the book, let's talk about how Pat's eating his own dog food. You had this idea for this book, and, you know, you and I have talked. I know you've had many ideas for books. In fact, you have a private Facebook group where people just talk about the books that they're writing. Tell me, how did you validate the idea for this book? I'm sure there were many ways, but can you give an example of when you were thinking about validating a book about validating? What did you do?
Yeah, no, this is really funny. And you know, there are ways to scale validation too, but the most important thing you could do is actually talk to people individually. I think that's one of the most important things. You build your interest list, but then you talk to people individually and try to get them to take some sort of action. So, of course, there was stuff beforehand that I knew where I knew this topic was important. So through surveys and whatnot, people were saying that they wanted this, of course. But then I was like, okay, well, here's this book. And then I went out and reached out to people in my audience via email and also in real life conversations. And I said, okay, I'm writing this book. I didn't have a name for it at the time. And I said, you know what? Would you pay me for this book? And I did this at Podcast Movement, and I did this at a couple other conferences later on. I literally said, well, okay, if I write this book, would you pay me for it? And they would say, yes, I would. And I said, okay, if you give me $10 right now, I will make sure to get a copy in your hands as soon as it comes out. And 9 out of the 10 people that I asked, I think it was 10 or 11 people, but almost all of them pulled out their wallet or sent me a PayPal with that money. And so that was...
So you really one-on-one sold this, but I didn't know you did this. You never told me about it.
Yeah. No, nobody knows. So you're the first one I told it to.
Holy crap. So you asked people face-to-face to pay you for this book you hadn't written yet, and 9 out of 10 or 11 people paid you?
Right. Now, some people might be thinking, oh, well, it's Pat Flynn, so of course people are going to say yes. But, you know, another important thing is that I asked some people that I had just met for the first time there. And yes, I asked them. And sometimes, you know, people will say they pay for something. But when you finally ask them, they're like, you know, and they make those excuses. Nobody was making those excuses.
Right. They say, well, when it comes out, let me know and I'll buy it then. Right. That's what they're going to say. But they didn't do that. You took that as validation. And so that's awesome. Okay. So here's the thing. I know you're on a really tight time schedule. Let's test your theory. So right now, within the sound of my voice, there are, you know, lots of people who wish they had this book. What validating action can those people do in order to find out more about the book or whatever? Tell us how we can know when the book's out and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, if you go to willitflybook.com, at any moment in time, you're going to see exactly what stage it's at. So if this is before it's launched, you'll see and get more information about the pre-selling of that book if that's available. But afterwards, it's going to be available there too. And so willitflybook.com is the place to go. Nice setup, Mark. I like what you did there.
Yeah, so I mean, this is going live tomorrow. So this is Tuesday the 17th. This is the 18th of November. okay, that people are going to hear about this because I think it's important. I want to get it out there and get people fired up about it, okay? So, cool. So what are they going to see on the 18th?
Well, on the 18th, you're going to see – and this is another thing about validation is that you have to do it in stages. So let's say, for example, that you're going to be creating this huge product. Well, you don't create the product first, obviously, and there's a lot of things you could do. Well, you can iterate the validation process whereby if you don't get clearance on that first part of that iteration, well, then you don't need to keep building the rest of it. So, for example, if you have a product out there and you go in front of an audience, maybe you do a guest post or something to help validate this product in front of a target audience that you get. If you don't have your own list, that's one way to do it. And you're essentially getting in front of this group of people, and then you have people essentially raise their hand. Say, hey, if you're interested more about this particular thing, go ahead and go to this website and leave your email address. And then from there, if you don't get any email addresses, well, then you don't need to continue moving forward because it's shown that people don't seem to be interested in that topic. But then if you do get email addresses from there, you can move to the next stage, which is, okay, let me talk to these people in person and see if they would actually pay for this thing or take a greater action or do some greater transaction in order to make that happen. And then you can kind of break it down, and if parts don't work, you can refocus on just that one part. So anyway, again, just more of that book to share with you. My daughter Kai is excited, actually.
Awesome. I heard Kai. Yeah, that's great.
On the 18th, you're simply going to see a landing page because we're currently doing the trailer and all those sorts of things that are the fancy things that are going to go up. So you're going to see it early, which is great. So it's simply going to be a quick, easy lead page. And actually, if I check on, let's say, 3 days from now, Mark, and I see that there are no emails, for example, because your audience, for whatever reason, was turned off or not excited about it, that gives me information. The fact that there are no emails there, right?
Right.
And I could go back to you and be like, Mark, nobody signed up. Well, I need to help. Like, did you get any emails? Like, how, you know, and I can start to discover based on that one small action, okay, well, what's the problem? And I can fix that from there. And if for whatever reason I can't fix that, then I know there's a problem. Now, obviously, I validated this with that other technique I shared you in a few other ways. So I know that people are going to come over and want to get more information about it. So there will just simply be a landing page and information about that. That'll put you on a list to get all the latest information on when bits and pieces come out. And I'm truly excited. And again, Mark, I'm just so thankful that you had me on the show to share this. And I'm super stoked to hear what everybody else thinks, too.
Yeah, I am, too. And this is episode 90. And actually, we've already recorded my episode 100. And you're part of that bigger episode with a lot of people. You probably remember doing that. So you'll be back on the show in 10 weeks.
I love it. If I knew that I was going to be on the show beforehand to talk about the book, I would have mentioned Will It Fly book on that too.
That's a whole back.
That's how
you need the you need the flux capacitor for that, man.
I do. Not just the toy one I have. I need an actual one.
All right, buddy. Hey, look, it's really great to talk to you. Tell me the URL one more time.
It's willitflybook.com.
And if people want to talk to you and they don't care about the book, but they want to talk to the Pat Flynn, what's the best place to find you?
Probably Twitter would be a quick, easy way to give me a shout out and say hi. I'll say hey back at Pat Flynn, or my website, smartpassiveincome.com.
Thank you, sir. You're very generous with your time, and I really appreciate you being here today.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Take care.
Bye.
Okay, I hope you enjoyed that. We'll be back very soon with another episode of the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast. Until then, I want you to think about the stuff that Pat had to say and figure out how you can apply something he said today right now. Don't wait for the book. Don't wait to find out whether or not your comment at latenightinternetmarketing.com/090 is the winning comment. Don't wait for that. Take something that Pat said, change something that you're doing today, put that into action and drive that next project forward. If you do a little something like that every day, you're going to love the results. Peace out.
You can do it right when it's late at night.
You've been listening to the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
Be sure to visit latenightpodcast.com today to leave feedback for Mark. Download special bonus content, access the show notes, and more. See you there.
Until then,
go and make some great progress on your internet business. One night at a time.
One night.
time.
I love talking to Pat. You know, one of the highlights of my week every week is getting to talk to Pat on Wednesdays at 10:30 a.m. Central Time. We all get together, me and Pat and Cliff and Ray, Leslie, and we talk about what's going on, talk about what's gone great in that week. And then we have one person each week in what we call the hot seat, where we give strong feedback about what's going on. We brainstorm issues. It's really great. If you're not in a mastermind, strongly recommend that you find some people that are where you're at or slightly ahead, maybe slightly behind you trying to catch up, you know, a nice mix of perspectives, definitely from different niches and industries, get some kind of view, wide spectrum view. You don't want a lot of people that think just like you. After all, you know what you think already. What you need to know is what people think that don't think like you. That's where the value of a mastermind is. So if you're not doing that, I definitely recommend that you take some time to go figure that out. Ciao.
You know, I was doing research, trying to find different psychological studies and all this stuff. And somebody was like, Pat, that's not you. Just tell your stories. And that's what ended up being the major part of the book, was these stories and how they relate to this validation process. And it's very Pat Flynn in this book, and I'm really excited about it.
Late Night Internet Marketing.
Hey, it's Mark again. I wanted to tell you one more time about this absolutely free resource that I have for helping people who are trying to get the big picture for internet marketing actually get started and understand what all their choices are. If that's not you, there's no more content. You can skip to the end. But if you're someone who came to this podcast because you're searching for how to get started online and you just can't cut through all the noise, I get it. That was me in 2007 when I was trying to get started. There were so many people throwing offers at me that I really couldn't even understand what all the different business models were. I couldn't understand how money moved around on the internet. And I couldn't really get a grip on what direction I wanted to go in so I could figure out how to move forward. I've created a free video resource for you just for that purpose at latenightim.com/explain. In several short videos, I just explain to you what internet marketing is all about and what online business is all about and the different options that you have for starting an online business. There's nothing to buy there. You just sign up for access and you get the videos just like that. So if that's interesting to you, or if you know someone who's in a same situation, send them that link, latenightim.com/explain. And let me know what you think. I'd love to hear what people are thinking that are in the exact same position that I was in more than a decade ago in 2007. In some ways, it seems like yesterday. And in some ways, it seems like an entire lifetime ago. Again, that's latenightim.com/explain.
Late Night Internet Marketing.